is a resurrection. Now on this resurrection day, Easter Sunday. So good to have you with us. My name is Ron. I'll be sharing with you this morning. And if you've been here for hundreds and hundreds of times, good to have you here again. And if this is your first morning here, it's good to have you here. Good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today. Before I go into the sermon, I thought I would just take a moment to just to pray for the situation with the university in Kenya and the just a horrific shooting there this week. You know, I talked last Sunday before the baptism about this thing of the cross and carrying our cross, and often we say in North America we don't really get that. Like what does that mean to carry your cross? Like, we don't suffer for our faith. Our lives seem so easy, relatively easy. And I understand that as these gunmen went through this university, their main question was, are you a Christian? And if the answer was, yes, I'm a Christian, then they would kill you. And, like, I got to be honest, I can't even fathom that. And I've asked myself more than once this week, what would I have said? If a gunman is pointing a gun at my head and says, are you a Christian, what would I have said? I don't know. I hope I know what I would have said. I mean, I hope I would have said that I'm a Christian. But let's just pray for that situation before we begin. Father, I can't even really find the words to pray for such a horrific event, and now all the people that are grieving the loss of sons and daughters and friends, and God, just gunmen coming on a campus like that and killing so many people. God, we pray for that whole situation. God, we pray for that nation and just all the different things, and we know it's not limited to that one nation, God, but this happens around the world where people literally, when they get out of bed in the morning as a follower of Christ, they know that that could cost them their very life. And it's hard for me to even imagine that, but Lord, we know that that is reality. We pray for the suffering church this morning. We pray for those who are in those situations. And God, I pray that we would be faithful to you in these tiny little challenges that we face, and God, as they may escalate in our lifetime, and one of us may find ourselves in that place someday, I pray, God, that we'd be faithful to you and to the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Father, now as I join thousands and thousands of other pastors around the world who try to put into words this message of the resurrection today, Lord, our vocabulary is not adequate to communicate the significance of this event or the power that was released through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I pray that you would take my weak words, breathe on them by your Holy Spirit, so that we would be truly challenged and encouraged today by this wonderful, wonderful message, the message of the resurrection. We pray in the name of our risen Savior. Amen. All right. It's been said several times already this morning, and I'll say it again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the core center point of our faith as Christians. It is where our faith rests, and we can't overemphasize that. We can't overemphasize that. And I remember suggesting last year, during this series around the resurrection, I raised the question of whether at times the church is guilty of majoring on the cross and minoring on the resurrection. In other words, we hear a lot about the cross. We talk a lot about the cross, which is all good. We should talk more about the cross probably than we do. But it seems like maybe the resurrection is just sort of, oh yeah, and then after all that, you know, after all that Jesus went through on the cross and after the price that he paid and all that, yeah, he rose again, and that was fantastic. And I think sometimes maybe we need to continue emphasizing the cross, but maybe emphasize even a little bit more the resurrection. I think I mentioned this last year also, but there are those who, in questioning the resurrection, and the resurrection has always been questioned from the very first day when it happened, all the disciples questioning it, all the people questioning it, that hasn't stopped. I mean, that continues to this day. People question the resurrection. Did that actually happen? But in all the questioning, there are even some that say, you know what, it really is not that important. Because even if Christ didn't rise from the dead, he still accomplished all that he came to earth to do. You know, it really doesn't affect things that much whether he did or whether he didn't. Well, I don't believe that at all. I don't agree with that. I think Scripture is pretty clear, and Kevin already mentioned the Scripture from 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul said that if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. It's futile. Because without a resurrected, living Jesus Christ, everything else crumbles. So I want to look at that this morning. Very simple message, nothing real deep and profound here, but then again, nothing ever deep and profound comes from me. So it'll be very simple, but I'm just raising the question about the resurrection. So we start with this verse. If you can't read that, neither can I. The English version is in your program, and if you can read Spanish, then you can read this. But this is this beautiful, beautiful verse in Luke 24. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. That was a message from an angel to the women who had gone to the tomb on resurrection morning. So as you look at your notes, I would like to just talk about a few things with this heading of because of the resurrection. What are the things that, if I'm saying that the resurrection is so crucial and so essential to our faith, I'd like to just point out several of them. Again, I don't think there'll be anything new here, but hopefully it'll be encouraging and challenging us to us this morning. Because of the resurrection, here's the first one. Because of the resurrection, Jesus was shown to be who he said he was. Jesus was shown to be who he said he was. What does that mean? During Jesus' ministry on earth, he made a lot of very bold statements about himself. He made a lot of very bold statements. You may remember some of these. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that about himself. Jesus also said to his disciples that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he also said, I and the Father are one. When Peter looked at Jesus and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus did not correct him. He said, this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father. So in other words, Jesus was agreeing that, Peter, you are correct. You have said correctly, I am the Christ, the Son of God. So very bold things that Jesus said. Now, here's the verse that you have in your program that is spoken again by the angel who was quoting Jesus that morning of the resurrection when he said, don't you remember? He said, this is what I told you while I was still with you. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Jesus multiple times told his disciples, I'm going to be crucified. And it doesn't really seem it connected with them. But not only did he tell them he was going to be crucified, he also told them he was going to be raised to life. This is from Mark 8:31. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. This was what Jesus was saying before it happened. Matthew 17:22-23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. He alluded to his resurrection when he talked about a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And perhaps one of the most clear reminders, if you will, that Jesus spoke openly about the fact that he would rise again was what the Jews did after he was buried. Remember they put guards? They stationed guards at the tomb. They sealed the tomb and they stationed guards there. Why did they do that? They did that because they remembered that Jesus said he was going to rise again. So they wanted to make sure that no one came and stole the body and made it like a fake resurrection. That was a great plan, except for if he really was going to rise, whatever their solution was to stop it wasn't going to stop it, and it didn't stop it. One more verse yet. Romans 1. This is the beginning of Romans 1, 3 and 4, when Paul is just in the introduction to his letter. He said, regarding the Son, who as to his human descendant of David, as to his human lineage, I guess, descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. All that Jesus said leading up to his crucifixion, all his claims, all the things he said about himself, if he did not rise from the dead, everything he ever said would be called into question, because it was all part of the package. He said, I am the Son of God. I and the Father are one. I will be crucified, and I will rise again. So his resurrection, because of the resurrection of Jesus, validates, if you will, everything that he said up until that point. It validates everything he said up until that point. And without the resurrection, everything else that he said would be called into question. This leads into the next one, which is very similar. Because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Now, if you look at that for a moment, you might say, but wait a minute, I thought our sins were forgiven at the cross. Like, I thought it was the Jesus being offered as the spotless Lamb of God, that is what allows our sins to be forgiven. Yes, that's correct. But Paul makes an interesting statement in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, where he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. So Paul seems to be making a very clear argument that without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. Say, well, wait a minute, I thought forgiveness happened at the cross. The reason I believe the resurrection is so closely connected is because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, that again calls into question all of his statements about who he was, the Son of God. And apart from that divine nature that he said that he had, he was not able to forgive sins. He was not an acceptable sacrifice. But because he was the pure and spotless Lamb of God, he was qualified to stand in our place as the Lamb of God and to forgive our sins. And that was all, again, verified by the resurrection. It was all verified by the resurrection. So a living, risen, victorious Jesus Christ looks at you and me and says, I have done what is necessary for your sins to be forgiven. I have paid the price. I am the pure and spotless Lamb of God. And all through the Scripture, we see that even in the pictures painted in Revelation of Jesus Christ, references made over and over to the Lamb that was slain, But because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Okay, let's go on to another one. So because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven. I didn't put this up. Sorry. This was the verse that I referred to about if Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. Now let's go on to the next one. Because of the resurrection, the grave is defeated. Now this is the verse that goes with that. This is in your program also. Death has been swallowed up in victory. This is from 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now, have you ever thought about the grave being victorious or death being victorious? You know, in a purely human or natural viewpoint, the grave is one enemy that none of us are really able to defeat in terms of the end of our lives. Until the time that the Lord returns, we all face the same fate at the end of our days, however many days the Lord gives us, whether it be few, whether it be many. The grave awaits us. And it doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter how influential you are. It doesn't matter if you know the president. It doesn't matter if you are the president. No one has figured out a way to get around this one foe. Death always wins, right? In the natural, death always wins. But what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15 is when he says death has been swallowed up in victory. Okay, how is death swallowed up in victory? Well, death is swallowed up in victory because of the victory that Jesus had. When Jesus was crucified, he was laid in the tomb, but he came back out of that tomb through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a living and risen Savior. So he defeated death. Scripture calls him the firstborn from the dead. So he defeated death. So yes, for you and me, physically, naturally, we still face that final chapter, if you will, in our lives. Where up until the return of the Lord, we all will meet that same fate. There will come a time when our heart stops and our breathing stops, and we will leave this temporary body, this tent that we live in. But through Jesus Christ, that's not a defeat. That's not something we look at as defeat, because there is no sting in death anymore. There is no victory in death anymore, because the grave has been defeated. You can also put in the word there if you want. The grave has been defeated. You can also say Satan has been defeated. Satan, the enemy of our souls, was soundly and thoroughly defeated at the cross, and especially with the resurrection, because Jesus came out of that tomb. So he's the defeated enemy. If you read through Revelation, his fate is clear. He's defeated. He will be thrown into a lake of fire. So a question for us is, if we know the outcome of the battle, why don't we walk in that victory more often? The enemy does have authority and does have power to wage battle with us, and we all experience that. He has the ability to attack us and to wage battles, but it's kind of like, I don't know, kind of like the little kid next door who wants to throw rocks at your car. You know that, you know, there comes a point when you're just going to tell his dad, and that's going to be the end of it. It's just going to be like that. You know, like, I'm not going to put up with this forever. And I'm not saying that spiritual warfare is not a real thing. I'm not trying to make light of that. But Satan is defeated. He is defeated. And he was defeated because of the resurrection. So now we serve a living Christ who has defeated Satan. And we have that victory as a result. One more now. Let's go to the next one. Because of the resurrection, the dying Savior received a name above all names. What am I referring to there? If you want a picture of human weakness or defeat, picture a man stripped, beaten, ridiculed, nailed to a cross, hung there, and left to die. It's hard to imagine a picture that's more humiliating, or a picture that would demonstrate defeat. When you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, his blood draining out of him, his life slipping away, the receiving, on the receiving end of all of this harsh treatment. But don't let the picture fool you. It's not what it seems. It's not what it seems. That was not a position of weakness. Jesus was in that place not because he was forced to be, but because he chose to be. Jesus was not crucified because the soldiers overpowered him and his disciples. They tried to fight against them, but they couldn't. No, that's not it at all. He said clearly, "No one takes my life, I lay down my life." So you have this picture of Jesus on the cross, and I'll bring this verse up here. You have this in your program also. Philippians 2, 8 and 9. I just love this passage of scripture from Philippians 2. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." Notice that word, therefore. And I was thinking about this week. I'm like, wow, so how could Christ have been elevated to a higher place than he was prior to him coming to earth? He was the Son of God. He was involved in creation. He was involved in all the works of God, all through history, making various appearances in the Old Testament, we believe. But now, because of his obedience, because of his willingness to come and suffer the way he did, Paul makes it clear in Philippians, therefore, in other words, as a result of his willingness to die, as a willingness to be obedient to death, even death on a cross, therefore, as a result, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name that is above every name. This is the Savior we serve, not just a historical man, not just a man who is well-respected among many religions, and Jesus is. Jesus is well-respected among many religions. Many people around the world say, yes, Jesus was a great teacher, a great man. You know, he lived a very good life. He lived an exemplary life. But he's so much more than that. There are a lot of good men and good women that have lived on the earth that have lived an exemplary life. He's so much more than that. No, we serve the living Son of God, the one who created all things, and the one who is and who will be the center point of the praises of heaven, Jesus Christ, name above all names. We can't overstate that. We can't overcommunicate that. Because of his willingness and his obedience to death on the cross, God gave him the name that is above every name and exalted him to a place without equal, sitting right there at the right hand of the Father. Let's do one more yet. Because of the resurrection, the dying Savior received the name above all names. Because of the resurrection, his life is now my life. And this is the most important one. What do you mean by that, Ron? What do you mean by that? Look at this scripture that's in your program from Romans 8. This is perhaps the most, to me, the most encouraging and most powerful verse in the New Testament regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the spirit of God, of course, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, be in you, live in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. We can look at the resurrection of Jesus, an event that happened 2,000 years ago, as a historic event. Yeah, we understand that happened back there in Palestine, you know. But this verse written to the Roman Christians is perhaps one of the clearest and most exciting results of the resurrection of Jesus. His life is now my life. Jesus rose from the dead, and the same spirit that brought him forth from the grave now lives inside of each of us. I know this is kind of like a science fiction sounding term that I'm about to say, but the resurrected living Jesus Christ becomes a life force in those who have surrendered their lives to him and in those who followed him, a life force, or a life source, if you would like that rhyming word better. His life becomes my life, becomes your life. That power, that energy, that victory that brought him out of the grave is available to you, is available to me. And we receive that through faith in him. So the question is that a reality in your life? I want to talk about that just a little bit more. What we're going to do now, though, I just have this video I want you to watch. I just love this. It's just a song. I love this song. I find it energizing. And it talks about this new life that we have in Christ. So go ahead, Jerome.
We have often asserted, and we affirm it yet again, that no fact in history is better attested than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It must not be denied by any who are willing to pay the slightest respect to the testimony of their fellow men. That Jesus, who died upon the cross and was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, did literally rise again from the dead.
We're calling out to every nation to spread the word that Jesus is alive. We're people of his kingdom. His resurrection is our freedom. For every heart, every tongue, and every tribe, we will dance with the one that shines brighter than the sun. We lift our eyes.
Okay, so it's a video of a flash mob. A church in Houston did this a number of years ago in a park there, and they left their shoes on the grass to be donated. So what's the deal with that? You know, something just touches me in that video. Like, it's just a picture. It's just a picture. You see all these people that young, old, men, women, apparently like this cross-section of humanity, and they have this life inside of them. Now, I know that in the natural, they were dancing. Yeah, they looked to have a lot of life inside of them. They were doing some things I don't think I could accomplish. But anyway, but it's like this picture in the natural of what the resurrection creates in the spiritual, where you have this body of people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They've surrendered their life to Him, and now there's this new life force, this new life source inside of them that animates them, that brings them to motion, that puts a spring in their step, that takes what was a mortal body. Remember, Paul said that he will bring, if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will give life to your mortal bodies. What's a mortal body? What does mortal mean? Mortal means that you're not immortal. Mortal means you're going to die. You're in a dying body. I'm sorry, you already know that, but we're in a dying body. But He will give life to your mortal bodies because the grave has been defeated. And it's not just that you have resurrection waiting for you because of the resurrection of Christ. It's today. It's today. There's this life force through the resurrection that will animate you, that will animate your spirit, and will bring a new life and a new purpose and a new direction in your life. That's available through Jesus Christ, and it's because of His resurrection that that's available. So it really boils down to a very simple question. Do you believe that your life is characterized by the living presence of Jesus Christ? There could be several reasons why it's not. First of all, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've never put your faith in Him and fully trusted Him, well, then that's a starting point for any of us. And maybe for some of us this morning, we just need to be reminded that the Christian life is supposed to be characterized by the life of Jesus and the power and the energy and the victory of Jesus, because what we can do is we get our eyes fixed on our mortal selves. Okay, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I'm too weak. I'm not smart enough, whatever. And we just get to the point where we kind of go through life feeling defeated, feeling less than for some reason. Jesus Christ is not less than. A living, risen Savior, Jesus Christ, is not less than anything. He has conquered the grave. He will conquer anything that you face in your life. So the question is, how do you release that life force, that life source, in your life? It's through faith. It's through obedience. Like the song says, He's alive. He's alive inside of us. So rise up. People of the Lord, rise up. There's another phrase in the song that I love. It says, we claim the victory won on Calvary. You claim the victory. Do you claim that victory for yourself, that Jesus won for you? As you place your faith in Him and you claim that victory, then that becomes a reality for you if you'll release it. Will you release the life force of Jesus in you? It doesn't just take over you, but you release it through obedience, through faith, through prayer. You say, Jesus, I want your life to animate me. I want your life to bring life to my body, which I'm very aware of as a mortal body. But I want your life to bring life to me through that. So, it's very simple this morning. It's very simple. The resurrected Jesus Christ stands before all of us today saying, I want to give you the life that I now enjoy as the eternally living Savior, the one who has been given a name that is above every name. I want to give that life to you. And our place is simply to receive it, whether it's by receiving Christ for the first time or just by saying again this morning, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Release more of the life of Jesus. Jesus did not rise from the dead in order for us to walk through life defeated. Jesus did not rise from the dead for us to walk through life defeated. and for us to walk through life getting beat up all the time by the enemy. That's not why he rose. He rose so that that life force, that life source, would be released in us. So that's where we're going to wrap up this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. I just want to pray for you. And I want to repeat what Kevin said earlier. I mean, this is Easter Sunday. This is the day we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a day for any of you to say, this is the day I'm going to place my faith in Jesus. I believe that he did rise from the dead. I'm going to place my faith in him. I'm going to commit my life to him. We would love to pray with you about that following the service. Just come on up. There will be people here that can pray for you. Or if there's anything else that we can pray for you, we'd love to do that. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'll pray for you. Father, as I look across this body right now, I see men and women. I see younger. I see older. I see people that are in the middle. I see people that are a cross-section of culture. We have different backgrounds. We have different nationalities. We all have different situations in our lives. But we know this, that Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, is the name that is above every name, and his life force is to be a life source for each of us as we place our faith in him. So God, reveal to us this morning those areas where we've allowed our mortal body to take over. We're living by the flesh. We're being defeated by the enemy. We're not optimistic anymore in Christ. I know the world is a difficult place. It's hard to be optimistic, but we're optimistic. We have great promise through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you would release that in each of us, that we would walk in obedience, we would walk in faith, that we would walk in a commitment to you, knowing, God, that you have great things in store for us. Even in the midst of life's difficulties, the risen power of Jesus Christ can be ours. So I pray this resurrection blessing over each person here. God, as we go about today, I know some of us probably have plans, family get-togethers and so forth, but Lord, we long to experience to a greater and greater degree the life of Christ in us, the risen Savior. Always, God, we just commit this time to you, this day to you, our lives to you, God, that you would lead us, that you would move powerfully among us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. You're free to go. If we can pray for you, please let us do so. We would love to do that. God bless you.